Boy, oh boy, have we had some really strange and different DC movies after Batman v Superman and Justice League, which were done by Zack Snyder. But here we have Shazam. So when I started watching Shazam, after so long, after all these days, I hadn't seen it in the theaters, but when now it's come out on digital, I decided to give it a go because why not? It's a standalone movie and it's one of those things which are trending these days, these superhero movies, the guys in red spandex suits and whatnot. When it came out, didn't create a lot of buzz, didn't create a lot of news or shake any cinematic ground, or did not get people talking about specific connectivities with the DCEU or something like that. So I wasn't immediately hooked at the time, and perhaps other films around it were making more noise, so I completely skipped it. And life has been hard. Life has been really, 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 really depressing and hard. So I've not been doing a lot of these episodes. This time, I decided to just fuck it and give it a go. Give it a go again in the old style, the way I started this podcast, without giving a fuck, without giving a fuck about the sound quality. And just enjoying myself, just enjoying watching these movies for myself, and just walking around with my phone in my hand and doing these audio vlogs, trying to make it more interesting rather than make it informative. I'm not a fucking movie reviewer. I'm just a filmmaker, sort of, still struggling to make films. And I like to watch films, and I like to talk about what I see, the patterns I see in all of these interesting films that I see and like to discuss with them, and the 10 people who listen to my episodes are really, really grateful to have them. And if anybody can get any sort of entertainment or fun or a laugh or two out of that, that makes my effort worth the effort and whatever that thing. Yes. So I started to d decided to not give a fuck again about the accuracies or the information or who's directing, or David F. Sandberg, wasn't it? And who's acting in these films? Zachary Levi, wasn't it? And all these other, things that you can get from all sorts of other shitty YouTube videos and whatnot, and other podcasts and whatnot. I want to tell you about my experience watching the film. So when I started watching the film, it starts in a typical fashion where this kid, who you think would be the protagonist, isn't in a car, and there's a scene where the father starts blaming him for the accident that they eventually have, which is the cold open of the film. And I started to sympathize with the kid, and because it was not really his fault, the fact that goes into this magic portal, into this weird little place where there is this old black wizard who's telling him to, who's given him a test of trying to resist some temptation. Typical story, typical psychological take on the fact that you want to delay your gratification in order to be actually worthy. And if you just give in, and then these seven deadly sins will capture you. So very visually, literal, I would say, very direct interpretation of that fact, that these really weird looking CGI seven deadly sins monsters are trapped in these rocks by the wizard, and the only thing that will sort of release them is if somebody just gives in to that magical blue ball of light, which is all of that is weird. All of that is fucking weird, but it just makes for a good story, and it just draws you in. And it what films are supposed to do is to just make you forget about your own life for a while and just make you care about these other characters, and you sort of relate and connect with bits and pieces and elements from different characters. And that is really, really impressive in this film. Somehow, after all these superhero films that we've seen and all the typical sort of first act introduction, origin stories of all of these superheroes that we're seeing, this one's funnily enough seems to connect a lot with me, a lot more than even Captain Marvel. I mean, even Captain Marvel seemed to be a film which a lot of ladies and girls would like, but... And I can understand that, but for me, it was another chapter of the TV series that we see on the big screen called the MCU. This one felt more like a feature film. I don't know how that's weird and different, but the fact that they did not have any of the plot from any of the other films play into this makes a big difference. And it's a story about that little boy, Billy Paxton, who gets lost from his mother. And all through the film, you're thinking, oh man, he's going to get back to his mother. And that is what the film is about. And it gives you a really nice twist when at the end of the film, spoilers, you realize that the mother actually didn't want the child back. And she was young and her husband leaves her. And she did not want to have this child who is lost at a carnival. That's a big shock that her mother actually did not want this guy, this kid. So now he goes back to his quote-unquote real family, who becomes, which is these group of abandoned these kids who live with foster parents. So that is a really nice archetypal tone to the film, where all of us feel like orphans, don't we? And we all feel like these people can't be our parents. And even if we have some really, wicked image of what our parents should be, could be, and are hypothetical images, that those are eventually shattered if we dig too deep and find out what they actually want. So life is hard, but this film made it colorful for 2 hours, and that is what was, I think, important. Also, the performances are good. They are all right. You feel like Zachary Levi does a good job of trying to be this innocent kid filled with wonder and amazement, and he's just having a lot of fun with his powers. A couple of things drag on a little bit too long, and some things just are, formulaic. You know that, okay, here's the third act at the carnival and things are going to blow and, people are going to fight. There's going to be CGI flying battles. So that was a little expected. That was like checking the boxes. That had to happen. It did happen. But there were enough surprises to keep me hooked throughout the film, which was really, really interesting. At the end, everybody becomes that Shazam characters. All of them become these different superheroes. All of the kids, the orphans, become superheroes and become the sort of legendary seven brothers and sisters which were hinted at the beginning of the film, or during the first half of the film at least. Anyways, so really, really interesting ideas, also sprinkled with Batman and Superman jokes. There's a kid which is fighting with Batman and Superman figures, and then outside the window, Shazam and the bald villain Mark Strong are fighting. So that's a fun moment. And plenty of little fun jokes and, interesting moments sprinkled throughout. I think the guy who played Billy's best friend, the handicapped kid, I think that kid has the best performance of the entire film. He's the best actor in the entire film for me, and he was really, really charming, really, really good, really, really in character. That was really good, and had nothing to do with the fucking Justice League or Wonder Woman, or there's no Batman that shows up, or no dark, brooding, depressing shit. Even though the subject was pretty depressing, if you ask me. The son, the supervillain, ends up killing his father. That was also done in a sinister, wicked, supervillainy, mustache twirling way, rather than a very deep, dark, somber way. So I don't know if you're feeling a little low, and if you're by yourself or with your family, or it's just a good film to watch. It's a fun film to watch without worrying about where it came from and where it's going. So in that sense, I would definitely consider Shazam as a film to watch.